Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
Live from New York, it's Wednesday morning, so it's not quite Saturday night, but it's not quite live technically either, but we are coming to you from New York City, and coincidentally, this is the first time Eric and I, your co-hosts here of the Travel Pulse Podcast, are together in the same room recording a podcast. So great to have you in New York, Eric.
Absolutely. It's great to see your face in person, Dan.
You know, I don't hear that a lot, but...
You're welcome. Yes, it's February 12th. We've got the Travies tonight. That's why we are in New York. We'll have a Travie recap next week on next week's podcast, because this is now becoming a weekly podcast. That's our big announcement for right now. We've got a great show coming up. We have all, as always, our trending topics, and this week's interview is somewhat a little special.
Yeah, we got a special guest this week, Jay Stein, the CEO of Dream Hotel Group. They own numerous different manage a bunch of different brands that you might be familiar with, from Dream Hotels to Unscripted Hotels to Time Hotels, the Chat Wall, number of different locations all over the world, from small markets to large markets. We're going to be talking with Jay about a numerous amount of variety of topics. He's a very well-respected guy in the industry. Talks about a lot of different things, from big data, privacy protection, tips on booking hotels, what travel agents should know about booking hotels, what travelers should know about seeking out some deals on hotels. You know, what people should be doing in the hospitality. It's kind of like a state of the hospitality industry, if you would put it that way, right, Eric?
Absolutely, yeah. That is coming up later on, but first we'll get to the trending topics as always. So what's been big, as it was in our last episode and has continued to dominate the headlines of news in the travel world, is the coronavirus. You know, people are sharing on social media life of being on a quarantine ship. We had that up on travelpulse.com earlier this week. And just yesterday, actually, news came out that one couple had a wine sent to them via drone while they're on their ship. So it's really impacting cruising. They were scheduled on quarantine there for 14 days on the ship. If anyone has been on the fence about cruising before, this virus outbreak and news of, you know, just being quarantined is not really helping people's cases. There's already some agents who are having their clients a little worried about cruising, even if they're not cruising into that area where everything's going on in China. There's been norovirus news outbreaks on cruising in the Caribbean, so people are just a little scared. I would just say to this is that, you know, talk to your travel agent. If you don't have a travel agent, you should get one. And if you're worried about that, they can help calm your nerves down a little bit and, you know, restructure your vacation if that's what you're really concerned about. So do you think you could last in a tiny room, though, Dan, for 14 days?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. If it was a big enough type of cruise ship, I might be able to do it. But one bottle of wine, I don't know. Did you say it was 14 days? I feel like one wouldn't cover it. But, you know, they might have to send in a case, probably, would be ideal. But it's interesting on technology. Now, if you're quarantined on a ship, what you can do to help yourself. But, interesting how they were doing that. We talked about the coronavirus a lot last week. It's obviously still dominating the headlines. Just for us being in New York here, I think every other person I've seen is wearing a surgical mask. So it's definitely taking its toll through the media on everybody, you know, tuning in and following it how they choose to, but it's definitely impacting in the travel industry. Let's go rapid fire on some news here, a couple different categories. Since we got a CEO of a hotel group coming up with an interview, we'll just look at some of the trending things that we've been covering on Travel Pulse. You can check out all these stories we'll go through here, some of the main headlines. You can check them out on travelpulse.com. Trending right now, Marriott actually debuted their first Aloft hotel in the Caribbean. This one stood out to me. I actually have my wedding block hotel coming up next month at an Aloft in South Jersey. Quite honestly, I would rather be at this Aloft in the Caribbean, but it's probably looking like it's a 177 room in San Juan. Oh yeah, it's in San Juan in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. Oh, so that should be very very cool. That's going to be coming out. The U.S. News actually released their top hotels in each of the main markets around the world, whether it's Canada, the Caribbean, Mexico, U.S., all over the place. And we have those rankings on Travel Pulse, a number of different hotels in there. They're top hotels in key regions. Check that out on Travel Pulse. Also, a few other things going on in the industry. What we're seeing a lot is a lot of different hotels expanding into different markets. Announced, I think it was last week, ALG announced two new properties coming to the Dominican Republic. And it's on the northern coast in Miches, right? I think you said you were there covering a Club Med opening before. So Club Med kind of broke the ground there. And now ALG is moving in with some new properties. That's definitely something to check out. And there's a bunch of other openings happening all over. So check all that hotel coverage out on Travel Pulse, from Hilton to Hyatt to Blue Bay Hotels. There's a lot of news going on in the hotel sector. And coming up again on the podcast here, stay tuned for Jay Stein giving his take on the hospitality industry as well. Eric, what's going on elsewhere in travel?
Well, airlines are always dropping deals here and there, especially Southwest. They've got their spring sale up right now, as you can get fares as low as $39 one way. So you have until February 20th on that. Further details on TravelPulse.com. And Dan, you mentioned your wedding, so I don't know if you want to cancel things and just change it up for something really unique and a VIP experience. If you want to drop your name in the hat, Frontier Airlines is launching a contest to get married during a flight to Las Vegas. Do you want to say I do at 30,000 feet? How would your fiance feel about that?
That would be a interesting tick. I mean, if Frontier would like to cover all of the deposits we've already made that are non-refundable on our wedding venue, and they can probably pay the aloft for all of the reservations that would have to be canceled. But 30,000 feet saying I do there. And I mean, no better place to do that than inside of the cabin of a Frontier airline plane. That would have to be interesting. I don't know if they would want me on there, given the hot take I had a few weeks ago on the Frontier's interesting marketing strategy. But that would be a very maybe I should just spring it on her and just say, hey, I got a brilliant idea, I've already taken care of it. It's a full VIP experience of saying I do with 30,000 feet in a Frontier airline. I wonder how well that would go over. Be interesting to see. But you said flight deals are going on. Southwest has a different deal that's happening. Is there anything else outside the industry people should know about right now, news-wise, or we got wider range of stuff?
Well, yeah, Valentine's Day is coming up on Friday, so we did drop a few different gallery pieces up on different Valentine's destinations that you can venture out to. It also is a extended weekend. President's Day is next Monday, so you have, if you don't have any plans right now and you want to go somewhere, be spontaneous, do something last minute. You shouldn't have to work on Monday. That would stink. We are fan friendly here at the Travel Pulse podcast. We would love to hear from you. Podcast@travelpulse.com is the best way to reach us. And we would love if you leave us a review. We had a few people leave some reviews off the last few shows, so we really appreciate that. However you listen, Apple, Spotify, Google, no matter what, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. And podcast@travelpulse.com is the best way to email us. So I think, Dan, it's time to get to our interview segment of the day.
Today we have a very special guest on the podcast. Our guest today has over three decades of experience working in the hospitality industry, from Hilton to Starwood, now currently the CEO of Dream Hotel Group, where he oversees a lot of different things. I'm going to let him introduce himself here. Jay Stein, thank you for joining us today on the Travel Pulse podcast.
Thanks, Dan, right? Dan,
yeah,
there.
Dan, yes. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Nice to be here.
Yeah. Thank you for having us. This is an awesome space that you got here. We love the different properties, so thank you for joining us. Would you be able to give a brief background on just you in general and kind of like what you have going on right now?
Yeah, I guess it's hard to do that when I've been doing this for over 35 years to make it brief, but I really came up through the ranks of operations. Started in food and beverage and kind of worked my way up almost to a food and beverage director position and at a big hotel in downtown Manhattan, and then kind of morphed over onto the room side of things and eventually moved into number two on a property, assistant GM, and then a general manager and an area general manager and a VP of operations and eventually COO for this company for a lot of years, probably about 15 years or so. Something like that. And then became the CEO for Dream Hotel Group, I think about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago already, something like that.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, we're excited to have you on here because how much insight and experience over the years that you have, I think it'd be very valuable to all of our listeners. Eric, if you wanted to.
Yeah, we'll just get right to it.
Great.
Just last week, we had the State of the Union with President Donald Trump giving his speech and everything. So I wanted to, spin that towards the hotel world. What do you think is the current state of the hotel industry entering this new decade in 2020?
So the State of the Union, we are healthy, but not as healthy as perhaps we were. Markets are softening a little bit. Our company's based here in New York City. We have a lot of assets here in New York City, but we are in many other areas now. We weren't until about 8-9 years ago when we really started pushing outside of New York. We saw New York was was going to have a tough time of it for a bunch of years. So we were lucky and a little smart and started looking outside the city and built up our portfolio in many different areas, out on the West Coast and now in the middle of the country. But New York, we still have a lot of assets here, and we learned a lot of lessons over the last 10 years. RevPAR growth was relatively soft. I don't want to use words that people won't know, but RevPAR is a blend of occupancy and average rate, revenue per available room. And so as that softened, I would see during many years of my career where the RevPAR growth could be double digit, sometimes 2-3 years in a row, which is a tremendous increase for an operator, which usually leads to great profits and making your budgets by October, and then you laugh for a couple of months and you start over again. And that's the way life was for a lot of years in New York. I think out of every 10 years, maybe we had 2 soft years and 8 very strong years. So it was great. But that all ended with 2008 and 2009. Mm-hmm. And we've never gotten back to that type of growth in this city. We've seen it in other markets. So we've learned how to operate in a tough environment. And I think there's still going to be strong pockets mm-hmm. in the country. But they're less than they were over the next few years. I think you'll see other markets starting to soften and maybe have flat growth or even negative. I don't think it'll be dramatic. Maybe lose a point or two in some markets, up a point or two or three. And then there'll be a couple of strong markets here or there, but not nearly as much as we'd seen over the last 10 years.
Okay. Yeah, I think what comes with, you're talking about a lot of different changes that are going on over the years, and I know right now, especially in the age of data, big data, personalizing that data, you know, even most recently, there was an MMGY survey that came out that said amongst, for American travelers, 77% of the respondents said that memories made while on vacation in the past year were more valuable than any tangible purchase that they made in the same period. So how do you see data affecting the hospitality industry, as well as just Dream Hotel Group? How are you guys using that type of data, personalizing it for guests in any way, or kind of what are your viewpoints on that?
So I certainly see a lot of value in the data. I don't see it as yet for our industry like what I'm seeing in Amazon and companies like that mm-hmm. that are really able to use whether it's persuade consumers to what they want them to do or to just entice them because they know that's where their interests are. It's kind of different, I think, in our industry. As you said, people are looking for experiences. So, yeah, they'd like to come to a hotel that speaks to the type of lifestyle they live. But more importantly, you know, they're coming because they want to do things. And, mm-hmm. You know, they want to come to a certain market, either coming to visit a friend or they're coming to see something they haven't seen before and experience a part of the world or a part of the country that they may not have been to before. And so I think some of the big data isn't as valuable, to be honest, mm-hmm. on a hotel company. Mm-hmm. I think our basics are still much more important. Mm-hmm. Great service, great clean rooms. You know, when people travel, they want to end up somewhere where they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very personal travel. You know, all the other service industries, you go in, you're just there for a couple hours. You know, mm-hmm. you go to a store, you go to a restaurant. When you go to a hotel, life happens in hotels. You know, people fall in love, people get divorced, people kill each other, people make babies, people, I mean, there's just lots going on in hotels. So a lot of, you know, living happens in those buildings. Mm-hmm. When people feel comfortable and they feel that it's clean and it smells right and that there's a hospitable feeling that they're welcome there, and those are the basics, right? And we kind of say, well, yeah, those are the basics, but what about technology? What about all these? But, you know, and those things are important, but not nearly as important mm-hmm. as giving a great hotel stay with attention to detail. And our industry is 5,000 years old. I mean, people have been traveling and needed a place and needed to be safe and something to eat and something clean. And so I think those basics are still very, very important. And I think we put a lot of effort on the culture of our company, the way we deliver service, and we call it aggressive hospitality, how we try to surprise guests, make them go, oh, how'd they know that? Mm-hmm. You know, and those are the kind of things we train in our staff. But back to your question about data, We have installed a customer relation management tool now company-wide, mm-hmm. something we didn't have 3 years ago. So we're now starting to get that information. Mm-hmm. We're able to pinpoint a lot of our marketing efforts. Just an example, like a staycation type of promotion, to know where we're sending that to, mm-hmm. as opposed to just our whole email list, where, you know, we wouldn't make sense sending it to someone in Minnesota, right? So mm-hmm. yeah. We're able to target things a lot more. We know if a guest likes to stay in suites, and we may just send them a special suite offer, mm-hmm. that we're offering to guests that, you know, typically like, you know, those type of products. And so we are using the data a lot more smartly than we did in the past, but we're learning, and we also want to stay respectful of guests. Mm-hmm. You know, I think again, we don't want to be creepy. You know, people sometimes feel uncomfortable. So from a hotel, we really like to be respectful and make sure the information that we're getting, it's safe, and that mm-hmm. we're using it in a respectful way to make decisions. Sometimes we also average things out. We look at like what our core guests are saying or enjoying, and then start to implement things mm-hmm. around that.
Yeah. And that's great. And I actually value that a lot, especially with all the different types of privacy and protections and things like that going along with data. Data's, you know, more valuable than oil now. I read that in an article the past year. It's the first time it's ever been valued more than that, which is incredible. And, you know, I can say we were talking about how I stayed at the Unscripted in Durham, and stayed there, and just the attention to detail, like you were saying, the service, making people feel like, you know, they're very comfortable while traveling. Definitely felt that way there.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
That's really what we preach. And
yeah.
It's great. And our GMs, you know, it was easy for me when we only had a few properties, and I was over those properties, and I knew every department head and almost every line staff, and it's not that way anymore, but I do know every GM and a lot of the department heads, and we preach this culture. We have lots of discussions on it, and you know, I see it when I travel, and it permeates through our staff, and I hear it from guests that stay there, people that are looking at our company without me making their reservation and say, hey, I stayed at your Miami property, I wanted to see what it was like, and we didn't know they were coming, and very often I hear those kind of comments, so I know it's working.
Yeah, definitely, and you know, I can even say from the technology standpoint too, I think that was definitely there. And is there, you mentioned the customer relationship management tool, is that like one of the pieces of technology you would say valuing, you know, put a lot of value on right now, or is there other pieces that you're kind of incorporating?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, I'm a little leery. I'm not as aggressive with, you know, some of my team that thinks this is, you know, the end all. Mm-hmm. I think it's one tool, and it gives us valuable information. You know, there's new technology that we're putting in the rooms and in the buildings to communicate with guests that I think is important. But again, I go back to our basics are still way more important than a lot of these other factors.
Yeah, service is key, and I think and people want to feel comfortable, as you said, and safe, you know. But you know, it is no secret that Airbnb has taken over the travel world by storm, particularly with younger travelers. So how do you think the hotel industry competes with that, and what steps does Dream Hotel Group take in targeting, you know, younger travelers?
So I don't see it just as younger travelers with Airbnb. It's a unique offering. I use it in certain situations, and I'm certainly not young, and I know a lot of smart people, because it's a very different offering. And what I like about Airbnb is I can go away with four couples, go to a beautiful environment and get either an amazing apartment or a great house, and have four couples, you know, all share it and use the great room and sit by the fire or go out to the beach. And you can't do that. You can't replicate that in a great hotel, or very difficult to do that type of experience. So, you know, I think, but to just go to a city and stay in an apartment and use somebody else's bedroom where there's a host there or even not a host there, and you're just in an apartment that is somewhere else someone else lives, I don't think is really a major impact on our core business. You know, most people that want to come and stay in a hotel, and we do a lot of business and corporate travel as well, I don't think it's impacting that. Also, there's all the rules, if you've read, you know, a lot lately, that Airbnb just can't do whatever they want, and that consumers are going to need to pay taxes, and they need the right insurances. And if it's a business, it's a business. It needs to be treated like a business. So you're seeing major changes in major cities across the world, not just in the U.S. Certainly here in New York, there's been many changes. So I think that makes the balances out the playing field. But again, they're very different, even though they do offer overnight stays. And I think when it first came out, what looked like it was going to be, you know, the end of our industry, it's a long way from that. And I think there'll be a place for that. And there was before Airbnb came in. They've they've done great with it. But hotels will be strong for hundreds of years to go. So yeah, a long way to go.
Sure. And speaking of hotels, obviously, new hotels, Dream Hotel Group has some coming. We've got in San Antonio, Playa del Carmen, and just recently announced Turks and Caicos. So would you take us into the process of, you know, what picking new destinations is like and how the brand jumps into those and what specific, how long does it take from idea to announcement and what types of travelers you're targeting? And
so I want to be fair to the developers that we're working with. Most of these deals are not, we're not building them. They're usually local developers in their own market, and we're bringing the brand and management. And also one recent one that we announced was Memphis, Tennessee. And actually that owner is upstairs right now meeting with some of my team. And So Memphis was also on that list. But, you know, to be completely honest, some of it is opportunistic. There are owners in different markets all over the U.S. and North America and Caribbean, where most of our focus is these days. And they're looking to do great hotels in their markets because they see an opportunity. One, they just may want to have something. They're a high net worth person. They want to have a hotel. Two, or they think it's just a great business decision. It's a great location. They own the land, or, you know, those type of things. And with our business development team, there's five of them running around the regions. And, you know, we get to see what new opportunities there are out there. So we'll meet with many of these developers, and if it's a market that makes sense for one of our brands, you know, we'll try to pitch them on it. We certainly want to be in specific markets that we're not in yet. San Francisco is an obvious one, and Washington and Boston are also very obvious ones. And we've been trying for many years. But, you know, each deal is a big deal. You know, we've got 16 hotels open, 21 deals signed at the moment. And, you know, I think we're going to average a deal a month for the next year or two, maybe a little more than that. But that, you know, so that gets us in more and more markets, but there's still a lot more markets to go into. But as I said, some of it is opportunistic and some of it is strategic, that we're looking for certain areas and to see if there are opportunities to either partner or in a case we may develop. We were developing in Palm Springs, we're developing in Dallas and in Bethel, New York. So in the old days, that's all we did. We developed hotels. Mm-hmm. We were owner, developer, and manager. And now we've really shifted gears and became more of a brand and management company. But our chairman still is a great entrepreneur and real estate developer, and on certain opportunities. He can't help himself.
Yeah.
So,
which personally, if you were to open or wanted to really open in a specific market, even a city, country, area, which one would you personally just absolutely love to go into?
Because I love the area, or I think it'd be a great business decision.
If it's more about the area, which one of you just like, I love this area and I would love to have something there. Is there anyone that sticks out to you, or any that you even have in the process of working on right now that you just were like excited
probably
about?
Probably in a beautiful remote area in Vermont.
No, and I know there's a lot of
one of my most favorite places in the world.
Oh, it is. Okay. That's awesome. Yeah.
Love that state. And I mean, just mainly from the natural beauty side of it.
Oh, yeah.
There's just something about growing up in this part of the world and New England, you know, just being just a beautiful, pristine part. And I'm an avid skier and just love the cooler aspects of the summers up there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Yeah,
just a beautiful place for me. I love it.
Yeah, and I know that type of travel, especially domestically in the U.S. I mean, so many people I know have been to more countries than states, and I personally love going around the U.S. as well as internationally. But there's so much beauty like that that you can see in the U.S.
And I've done both. I've traveled a lot internationally. I've been to many beautiful places, and there's so many great places here. You know, Vermont's just one of them. But I love, you know, it's an amazing country that we have in so many. You know, different, varied, you know, go from Hawaii to Maine, you know, to Florida, and then there's just so much to see.
Yeah. So Obviously, a lot of our listenership, we have both people on the trade side that are either suppliers, travel agents. We also have consumer travelers that listen a lot. But for the travel agents that are listening, obviously, hotels are a big part of their business. They book a lot of hotels. And for those not familiar with either Dream Hotel Group, or if there's any tips in general on booking hotels that you think agents should know about, or just kind of from an industry insight, is there anything that you would provide for them that they should know about?
You know, if they're not aware of us, we are certainly one of the great lifestyle hotel companies out there. You know, you use the buzzword lifestyle. Nowadays, almost every brand says they're a lifestyle brand. And almost every major hotel company from, you know, Hilton to Marriott, you know, will have numerous lifestyle brands within it. And almost every new brand that is announced is a lifestyle brand. And I kind of see it differently, that they're not really lifestyle, or we're not really lifestyle. They're trying to do great hotels. And the industry got off base back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and we're just doing these boring design and boring food and beverage and programming, and they were just functional. And they were good, but none of them were, or very few of them were great, and very few of them were afraid to offend anybody or do something unique, until Ian Schrager came along and said, you guys got this all wrong, and started doing highly stylized hotels with great food and beverage. And that didn't appeal to everybody, but to the people that it did appeal to, they loved it, and there was nothing else like it. And I think we bought into that quite early on, and over 20 years now, we've been focused on lifestyle hotels. And now, as I say, almost the entire industry realizes that we probably made a big mistake for that 30-year period of time. And we got away from what hotels should have been, which were great, stylized, community-oriented, with the food and beverage that made sense for the locals as well as the hotel guests. And so I'm proud that the industry really has morphed back into becoming much more in tune with what we should have been. Lifestyle is just normal to me. You know, that's what hotels should do. But we do it well. We've been very active in that area for a long time. So I think for travel agents, to go back to your question, when they're looking to recommend a hotel in a particular market that may be really appealing to a guest that may not know that area, someone that maybe understand the fun and unique aspects of the market that it's in, take advantage of the locals that are in that area, I think our brand and our hotels within those markets almost always hit that mark and do it at a high level. I think we also have a room product that is almost always unique, with different features and some great fun things for people that are looking for that unique experience. In Nashville, we have a beautiful suite that has a great outdoor barbecue setup. And we have a grill master that, you know, if you want to do, have your family over and do a great night with a beautiful view of the city, and we'll have a grill chef, you know, come up and do a whole meal for you. So, you know, fun things like that. And in Dream Downtown, we have an amazing hair salon that is really legendary for cutting celebrity hair. And so they serve champagne during the day, haircuts are $300, and you see some famous people come by and hipsters, and but it's just a cool vibe. And you know, on Valentine's Day a couple of years ago, we had James Gold Crown, right? And James is famous for doing these like hearts that are dripping and with spray paint, and he does these beautiful murals, and we gave him a whole wall in the lobby to do this mural on Valentine's Day. So we did it with a time lapse, and it was just a great event. And then we hired this great tattoo artist who would only do tattoos of James' heart on people's forearms, and they were free.
Oh, wow.
So we had a line around the block on Valentine's Day getting these hearts tattooed on your forearm. And, the amount of hits we got on social media. So, we just do a lot of fun events, a lot of programming like that. So
definitely.
I think for travel agents that are just looking, this type of guest may really, and I think every type of guest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think my mother, who's 90 years old, would enjoy, seeing something like that. And, people aren't offended. They just don't want to just be somewhere boring. So.
Exactly. Yeah, and offering free tattoos on forearms on Valentine's Day, that's something different, totally different.
So we love doing those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think also for the travel agent, we care about them. We can't, as I said, we were owners. We've been doing this for over 35 years as a company. We pay them timely. Mm-hmm. We give them bigger commissions on groups. We've done programs like that where some of the big companies were cutting back. Mm-hmm. We've always, been very respectful to them as part of our business, and don't just see it as a way to carve them out, so to speak.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's an awesome way to take it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, just kind of to close us out here, you're an experienced traveler. Do you have any tips, general tips, when it comes to hotels, just general travel and any travel habits that you would want to share with listeners? Like one big one for me is as soon as we just got here to New York, got in the hotel, first thing I do is check the bed and I untuck my sheets, like the George Costanza thing for Seinfeld.
Tuck or untuck.
I'm a untuck all the way. So any wisdom you would like to impart on?
Well, that's just kind of a personal thing, and yes, and I'm an untuck as well. But I won't do it until I'm ready to go to bed. I don't like the room messy. I'm a neat freak.
Yeah.
In fact, in the morning when I get up, I usually make the bed. Or at least straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
And now, often, I don't know if this is a tip, but many times now I put the do not disturb sign when I leave for the day, only because, not that I'm trying to save the hotel money by not having the room attendant come in, but I mean, I don't make any mess at all. I've been there, I got there at 10 o'clock at night, I went to sleep, brushed my teeth, and got up, took a shower, and left.
Yep.
The room is perfectly fine for me to come back in at 5. And this way I don't have to put my iPad away or do other things and, just keep the room closed.
Same way.
And then the next day, maybe I want service, or the third day, maybe I want service. But it's not something you have to have, so if you don't want somebody coming into the room.
Mm-hmm.
We also tell our staff that these people that are renting the hotels don't own the rooms. So we do have it as a policy. They must go in by the third day. So, even if they say do not disturb, again, they don't own the room. So we want to make sure nothing bad's going on in there. Stay on top of it. So, as hotels are tricky places. And
Of course.
Yeah, it goes back to that service and comfort and safety.
But there's a lot of tips. I would always say there's always a room available.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a busy city on a really busy night and everyone's sold out, by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, there's no shows. So if you just go have dinner, go have a drink, trust me. After that, go back and start asking. You'll find a room in the city.
Oh, yeah.
Later at night. There's always a room.
Definitely. That's a good thing for people to know, definitely. Yeah. Traveling. I think a lot of people just have a preconceived notion that it's just like, we didn't book it ahead of time, so we're out of luck.
Well, because they do sell out. The rooms are sold, but there's always no shows. There are planes that get canceled. Mm-hmm. There's people that just couldn't get away from work on time. And then they'll call the hotel, sorry, I'm not going to be able to make it in.
Mm-hmm.
And they already got paid for the room, so they don't, because they sell it again.
Yeah.
But they do have to hold it because that guest may show up. If you wait late enough and you're in a bind, just go have a couple of drinks and you'll find a room.
It's a good plan, definitely. Is there anything that you, as we close out here, anything that you want people to know of, like anything you guys got coming up or how people can find a deal on you guys? Like what's something they should get real excited about or look for? Anything you can kind of just, plug Dream Hotel in there, any Dream Hotel Group?
Yeah, so we are announcing a lot of deals. We've got 3 hotels opening within our group. Right here in New York City, there's a Margaritaville that we're going to be managing for the Margaritaville group. It's kind of unique, but we have some equity in that deal from a piece of real estate we owned here from a while back. So we're excited about that project coming online. And then the Dream in Doha in Qatar, an amazing project. It'll open about a year before the World Cup, so probably July of next year. That hotel, amazing project, 9 food and beverage operations, so a really exciting lifestyle hotel. And then we're opening a hotel at the end of this year, early next year, in Belgium, in a rural part of Belgium where France and Belgium meet. It's going to be the Your Nature Unscripted Resort, and it's an eco resort in Belgium. It's all sustainable, built with sustainable materials, modular built, and just a great product. So we'll have 3 hotels in the next 16-17 months that open. And as I mentioned earlier, we have 21 of these that are signed, so all of them will open over the next 3 to 4 years. And by that time, we'll probably have another 40 or 50 signed up, and we'll talk about that.
Business is booming.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are keeping busy, definitely. That's a great thing. Well, we appreciate you taking the time coming on, and as all the different deals and signings you got going on. You're a busy guy, so we appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks again to Jay and Dream Hotel Group. We really love having insightful conversations on. And again, if you would like to reach out and be on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. Podcast@travelpulse.com is the best way to reach us. So Dan, you know, I was on paternity leave. I'm back to the daily grind now. I had my first flight of 2020 here since I was on a no travel thing until my daughter was born. And I got to say, Dan, I guess I forgot, I don't know, but people, they struggle to stand in lines and walk, like at airports. What is wrong with it? It blew my mind how, I mean, maybe it was, you know, it was 6:30 in the morning. People hadn't had their coffee yet or whatever. For people who drink coffee, I'm not a coffee fan. But people, basic steps of walking, you don't need to hover by somebody in line. Like, I felt a woman breathing on my neck, and I was like, hello? What?
Anything people do know is just, it's absolutely astounding. You know, I was just in an airport this past weekend before coming up to New York, and obviously people want to get on the flight first. For whatever reason, we're on a regional jet. We are going down to your great state of Georgia and flying out on Friday. We had a six-hour delay. We were getting pushed all over the airport. Either way, we were standing at the actual the gate where we're about to get on the flight, and there's always those people that are, it's got to be the first in line, and it's usually people that are boarding last. It's usually somebody that's in group 7, 8, or 9.
We call those gate lice.
Oh, is that what it's called? Gate lice?
Shame them. Shame them all.
Shame them all. Yeah, and this guy, literally, that's what it was. He was the first one in line. He was standing there for probably a good 40 minutes before they started boarding, and then they started calling boarding, and he had to move out of the way of everybody because he was in group 8 out of 9. Very interesting if people do that. And I understand if you want to get your bag on there so that they don't have to check it because there's no room or whatever for it.
Or you just don't want to sit because you know you're about to be sitting on a plane for a while. Yeah. I get that, but don't hover up at the front if you know you're not boarding until later.
Yeah, yeah, and especially on a regional jet like this, like they tag your bag and they take it from you there, and then you don't even have to go to the check baggage slot. They give it to you when you get off the plane. That's what happened with us on the small plane of, you know, I don't know how many seats on it, but not a lot. So I don't think it's, you know, experiences like that just kind of, you know, figure it out. But so I mean, thank you again to Dream Hotel Group for their hospitality here at their headquarters in New York City. We're going to go get ready for the Travie Awards, which are tonight, Wednesday, February 12th. Next week, tune in to hear a little bit about the Travies, what happened there, some of the big winners, some of the big takeaways, some of your favorite people in the industry are going to win big. There's going to be some surprises out of this. Able to see who, won and didn't win. There's going to be a lot of people you recognize. A lot of people that you might be surprised, won gold or silver at the Travies. So stay tuned for next week. We'll be recapping that, and we will see you then back in South Jersey and Georgia.